Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome. We're glad you're with us this morning. We're glad you're watching online this morning. We invite you to take your Bible and find Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to start a journey through the book of Matthew and see what the Lord has for us this morning. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. A record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now Abraham was the father of Isaac. Who else was Abraham the father of? Abraham had two sons. Ishmael, thank you. They both start with I. It's real easy, right? And Ishmael was his first son, right, by his wife's handmaid, right? Hagar, exactly. Thank you. And then later on, years later, about 12 years later or so, Isaac was born. And so Abraham had a child before he was supposed to have Isaac. And you know, the promise of God to Abraham was he would make him a great nation and that he would have a son. And Abraham couldn't wait and his wife couldn't wait, so they rushed ahead of God. There's a whole story in there we could spend all kind of time talking about. But when you rush ahead of God, you wind up with an Ishmael. And we have this record in Genesis 16:12. It says, "And Ishmael will live in hostility toward all of his brothers all of his life." And if you look at the Middle East, we see hostility all the time, always. Okay? Yes. He's living this hostility from those that we might call Arabs. You might call them Muslims today, but Arab people, and in constant conflict with Jewish people. We see that playing out right before us in the last couple of weeks. We've seen it for years, but in particular the last couple of weeks. So Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac the father of Jacob. Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Okay, we're gonna see five moms listed here in the genealogy of Jesus. Tamar being the first one. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram was the father of the Ram truck, which is one of the best made. Did I just say that out loud? I mean, my Dodge lasted me 20 years, and now my grandson owns it, and it's still lasting him. So what can you say? And I get nothing for making that advertisement, right? There's nothing that comes back to me for that. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon is a nice fish that's good to eat, right? Especially with some rice pilaf there and a little sauce on top. With some, I don't know, something on the side there. Anyway, I'm moving right along. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother, another mother here, was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother, another mother here, was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of King David. Now, David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Didn't list her name there. Who was that?
Bathsheba.
Bathsheba. We know the story of that. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat, who ate way too many Krispy Kreme donuts. I'm just trying to lighten up the genealogy, right? It can be kind of boring, but Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. There's a great book in the Bible called Hezekiah. Hezekiah chapter 7, verse 14 says, "Every tub must sit on its own bottom." If you're watching online, I do this every now and then. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jehoiakim and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. So what was the exile of Babylon? Who knows the date? The first number starts with a 6, and it's B.C. 6. 0.
605
B.C. Very good, Brenda. Bonus. You get to go get another donut. So the first captivity was Babylon was 605 B.C. And that captivity lasted about 66 years. Verse 12, after the exile to Babylon, which is 539 BC. You count backwards, right? All right. Jacoa was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abud. Abud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Akim. Akim, the father of Elud. Elud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Matthan. Matthan, the father of Jacob. And here's what gets interesting. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Now, when we talk about our genealogies, right, I think about I have a father and I have a grandfather on this side. I have a father and a grandfather on this side, right? So we know that Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit. We understand that. But just in practical terms, I want to make a point. Who was the grandfather of Jesus? Jacob.
Jacob.
Right? And I'm going to make a point in just a minute for this, the father of Jacob. And so his father was Joseph. His grandfather was Jacob, right? That's going to come back in just a minute. The husband of Mary, whom was born Jesus, is called Christ. Thus, there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to Christ. So Matthew's painting a picture. He's saying approximately 1,680 years, plus or minus, we have these things taking place. He's painting a picture for us, right? And so he starts in verse 18. He says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married. In other words, our word would be engaged to Joseph. But before they came together, that is, had relations, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, in Deuteronomy 22:21, if a woman was found to be with child, right, out of wedlock, she was to be taken to her father's house, stood in front of his door, and stoned to death. Yeah. And so think about, we mentioned David and Bathsheba. According to Jewish law, Bathsheba was found with child, should have been taken to her father's door and stoned to death, and David should have been killed. That was the law for adultery back in the day. So we see Joseph knew that. He was a devout man. He knew the law. And he said, I'm not going to take her to her father's house and have her stoned to death. I can't do that, right? He had this compassion on him. He thought, well, I'll just divorce her privately. We'll do it on the side and she can go live with somebody else. Sorry, I sang too hard. She'll go live with somebody else and she'll have a child and nobody will know about it. They send her off to Elizabeth's house, right? Remember that story. And so he was thinking, what should I do? What should I do? And he's prayed about it. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. I love angels. Angels are just amazing beings, right? Now, they're not this little flabby thing you see with little wings and about this big, right? Angels aren't tubby babies. They're just not. I'm just sorry. They're not. Right? They're 9-10 feet tall. They got swords that you and I can't pick up. And they got wings, right? And they don't take no junk. They just don't. If you ever encounter an angel, I've never encountered one, but I've heard people and I've read stories of people who encounter angels, you are on the floor immediately. There's no, hey, nice to meet you. What's up? You know, give me a high five. None of that. You're in such terror and fear because of what you've seen. You're on the floor. You read through the Bible and they fall down. Well, this angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. So, not exactly sure what that means, but we know that our dream life, there's a thin film between our natural dream life in our body and the spirit realm dream life. And it shouldn't surprise us that God can cross through that film, that thin membrane, anytime he wants to, with a message to us. Let me read you something in the book of Job. Job chapter 33, beginning in verse 14. For God does speak, now one way, and now another. I'm so thankful that God speaks. And I'm thankful that he speaks one way now and one way another. The way he spoke to you yesterday may not be the way he speaks to you today. And that's something hard for us to grasp. God spoke to me this way last time. Well, guess what? That was last time. Tomorrow's a new day. He may speak differently. God does speak now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night. When deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds, that's what happened to Joseph, slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings. It's going to come back into play in a minute. To turn from wrongdoing, to keep them from pride, to preserve his soul from the pit, or his life from perishing by the sword. Four good reasons God gives for speaking to us in dreams. So we know God speaks, and he spoke to Joseph. And he said, Joseph, son of David. He called him to his truest identity. Joseph, son of David. And when he calls us, he says, Jim, son of the Most High God. Right? He calls us by our truest identity. Brenda, daughter of the Most High God. When he speaks to us, that's how he speaks. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now, what Joseph would have known as a good, devout Jewish man is that the Holy Spirit came on people for a moment or a season. Right? He came on the man who built the temple. He came on Samson, right? There's these moments when the Holy Spirit comes on and does something in a person's life, sometimes for a short season, sometimes for just a moment. That's what he understood. And now he's being told that the Holy Spirit had come upon Mary, and she was going to be with child. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, I've talked about this before. I want to talk about it briefly again. The name Jesus. We just sang a great song, and all the songs use the word, the name Jesus. But that's not what Mary and Joseph would have called him, right? His name in Hebrew would be Yeshua. That's the shortened version of Yahashua. Yahashua, right? Jewish words don't start with J. There is no J in the, Hebrew words don't start with J. There's no J in the Hebrew alphabet. If you watched Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know this. Some of you are smiling. You're waiting on me to say it, so it's in there, right? There's no J. It's a Y. Back in olden days, when the British and other people like that would speak, the Y sounded a lot like a J when they would pronounce it. Our vocabulary has changed over time, and so by the time this was translated from Yahushua, the long name, like Yahushua would be Jimmy, Yeshua would be Jim. It's just a shortened, contracted name of it. It was translated from that into the Greek, which is what they spoke in Jesus' day, Greek and Aramaic, and that would be the word Iesus, I-E-S-O-U-S, Iesus, right? And so from Iesus, it was translated from the Latin, from Iesus, from the Greek, into what we call Jesus. And so that's how we get the name Jesus. It's based on that. But this is really important. You shall call his name Jesus. I mentioned earlier that that his granddad's name was Jacob and Joseph. When we look at the brothers of Jesus mentioned in Mark it says he had four brothers. Their names in English are James, Joseph, Judas or Jude, we get the book of Jude from, Simon. He had sisters. Church history says there were two sisters named Mary and Salome. We don't know that for a fact, but that's just what seems to be. But in Hebrew, their names would have been Jacob and Joseph, Judah, and Simon. Now, we just read that Jesus' grandfather was Jacob. His father was Joseph. So wouldn't it make sense if you're naming your children, you would name them after your grandfather first, which was tradition. Second, you would name them after the father. Does that make sense? So Jesus had brothers from Joseph and Mary, he kept with the tradition of naming the next children, as Jewish tradition was, to name the first son Jacob, the second son Joseph. and the third son, Simon. You see how it follows tradition? It's beautifully how it matches up. And if Jesus' name is Yahushua or Joshua in the Hebrew, Yeshua in the Hebrew, who led the children of Egypt, the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses. But Moses couldn't enter the promised land, right? Who took him into the promised land?
Joshua.
Who takes us into the promised land?
Jesus.
Whose name is Yeshua or Joshua? You see how that matches? See how God matches all that up? Joshua takes us, Jesus. Joshua, Yeshua, takes us into the promised land because of his love for us, because of his salvation, because he died on the cross for us and rose again. He takes us into the promised land. I just love how the Bible matches up. I hope you see that. She'll give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, that's in Isaiah 7:14. You'll find where it talks about Emmanuel coming. Now, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. Listen, that's always a good thing if the angel of the Lord speaks to you in the night. It's always good when you come to your senses to do what he says to do.
Yes, sir.
Right? Amen. Amen or oh me? A little of both. that is true. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, there's a denomination that thinks that Mary and Joseph never had relations with one another, and virgin birth, Virgin Mary. But it says right here, he didn't have union with her until the baby was born. Now, we know he had four more sons and two more daughters, so you understand?
Yes.
It's a pretty good testimony that they got together and had supper or something. I don't know.
Consummated their marriage.
Right. I'll be nice. Y'all be nice, too. All right. Now, chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, during the time of King Herod was a horrible, mean, vicious, despicable, demonic person. And he had three of his sons just slaughtered because he didn't like him. He had some 300 of his best friends and allies slaughtered because he didn't like him. He contracted some sort of disease. We don't know what it was, but it slowly took his life, a miserable disease. And close to his death, he realized that nobody in the kingdom would mourn his death because of how despicable he was. So he gathered up dozens of Jewish leaders and put them in the arena. And he commissioned his sister, whose name was Salome, he commissioned his sister to slaughter them at the moment of his death so that somebody would be crying in the land when he died because nobody would be crying for him. His sister was so terrified of the Jewish people and of their God that at the point of his death, right before he died, she went and released all of them and said, "This ain't gonna happen." And set him free. Vicious man. And so we also see he's going to slaughter children, which is in the news in the last couple of weeks. Right? During that time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is he who has been born the King of Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, all my growing up, I saw Christmas musicals where you had the three wise men, right? And they dressed up and we thought they were from China. You know, he had the garb and everything, and they're from the East. They got to be from China. They're wise people over there. Well, Chinese, they're wise people. But this is not who they are. Remember we talked about the captivity in Babylon, and what was the year? It starts with a 6? 605 BC. They were taken into captivity 600 years before the birth of Christ. They were placed in Babylon, in and around Babylon, Iraq today, and they settled in. They were under captivity for sure 66 years, plus some stayed, and they had a life there. They probably took whatever scrolls they had with them. They took whatever oral tradition they had with them, and for 600 years, they passed that down, and part of their oral tradition was there's going to be a star in the east. There's going to be a star shining. And you're going to follow that star to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And that was passed on. And so fast forward to 4 or 6 B.C. approximately. The star came up in the east. These people who had been living there in captivity, who chose to stay in Babylon, had passed this tradition on. Those were the wise men. They were wise Jewish men who had been trained and taught and trained and taught and trained and taught for years and years and years to look for the star. That's who the wise men were. Why would the Chinese be interested in a Jewish king? They wouldn't. It's a great story. It's the truth. It's gemology for sure, but it's probably the truth. And so they came and said, where's the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Now, if 3 wise men showed up, it's not going to create a stir in the town. There must have been an entourage with them, like camels, donkeys, you know, horses. This is a big entourage of people coming in town. We saw his star in the east, we've come to worship him. Now, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. Bethlehem is 2 words in Hebrew. House of bread. House of bread. And so who was born in Bethlehem? The bread of life. The bread of life. Isn't that beautiful? I just love how God brings things together. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, now you go and make careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, you report back to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Then when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped Mary. Come on, somebody wake up. Is that what it says?
No.
Oh, they worshipped him. There are some people who worship Mary. That's idolatry. Should be doing that. Mary bowed down, and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Here's another dream. We just read about in Job about how God warns us so that we don't get in trouble and get killed. Herod probably would have killed all of them in that moment. But they were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod because he probably would have killed them. And they returned to their country by another route. Now, there's been a lot of conversation about the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There are books written about what it means. I think it's a real simple thing. There's Mary and Joseph. They didn't have a lot of finances. Had a new baby. They were going to have to leave town. And gold, frankincense, and myrrh were valuable items. You could sell a little myrrh. You could sell a little frankincense, sell a little gold. And that's how they survived. That's how God provided for them for their next journey. Now, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. There are 2 times that Egypt has helped God's people. One was when Joseph and the brothers and all that, there was a famine. They went down to Egypt and they lived. They survived. The second one was when the Son of God, Son of Man, Jesus Christ himself, mom and dad were in trouble. Egypt took them in. And that's why there's a passage in the Bible in Isaiah that talks about how God will bless Egypt for taking in the previous sons when the famine was taking place and this son, Jesus Christ. So God's going to look down on Egypt at some point and say, okay, well done, and he's going to bless them. That's in the scripture. That's a prophecy. So he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where they stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I will call my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. We saw this a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Babies slaughtered and murdered by demon-possessed terrorists. Beheaded and even thrown in ovens. Horrible, demonic stuff taking place. We see demonic stuff taking place around the birth of Jesus. Perhaps we're seeing demonic stuff taking place before Jesus comes back again. His first coming, demonic. His second coming, the demons will rise. They're going to get emboldened, and they're going to do horrible things. And that's what we're seeing. After Herod died, he died around March or April 4 B.C., so which puts Jesus' birth approximately 6 B.C., plus or minus. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Here's those angels again in dreams again. And said, get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up and took the child and his mother and he went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard Archelaus was reigning in Judah, that's Herod's, one of Herod's sons. He had three sons that took over after he died. That was the oldest son. Was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod. He was afraid to go there. Archelaus killed Jewish people and anybody he wanted to, just like his father Herod did. He was an evil, vicious man too. Now, having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. There you have it, chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Matthew. You know, one of my takeaways is, let's don't get ahead of God from Abraham. Secondly, let's wait on God to speak to us in dreams and visions and through other people and through his word. And the third thing is, God never gets ahead of himself. He's always right on time and in time. Notice how he was always lining up what needed to happen for Jesus next. And he does the same thing for us. He does the same thing for us. So sometimes when you're tempted to push ahead and forge ahead and do your own thing, just pause and wait on God. Wait on the Lord and let him come and rescue you. The Bible says we cast our cares upon him for he cares for us. He says we wait on the Lord and his due time, he will lift us up. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for recording this for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for all the amazing ways you speak into our lives even today. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for loving us enough to have a conversation with us every day, all day, and always. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for making this possible. Thank you for dying on the cross, for our sins, for coming back to life, and for living in us and through us and around us and about us always. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher to remind us of all these things and to teach us how we're to respond to the Father and the Son. For it's in the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, Yahushua, Yeshua, the God who saves. His name is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen.